cracking. Hey guys, welcome back to the Walter Pointer podcast. I'm your host, Sogat Pradhan.
And I'm your host, Ashish Takal.
And today in this episode, we have a very special guest, Jordan Hansen, all the way from South Dakota, same state as where I live. He's an entrepreneur, real estate investor, and he also does a lot of events like seminars to help out other entrepreneurs as well who are struggling with their business. So Jordan, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us, you know, about yourself a little bit?
Hey, my name is Jordan Hansen, born and raised in Mitchell, South Dakota. I'm still a resident currently. I've been doing real estate full time for probably 3 or 4 years. I got into it back in 2013. I took the leap in, I think it was 2019. I quit my job and I bought a 15-unit apartment and been doing it full time ever since. In the last couple of months, I started doing seminars to help out people and try to get people together and just kind of show them all the stuff I did, and hopefully it helps them out.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you've been doing real estate since 2013. That's a very long time. So what made you actually want to jump into real estate and quit your job and, you know, get into it full time?
So I never wanted a job. I always wanted to just kind of have the freedom to do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And I knew real estate would be that way. I read a lot of books. I knew it would take a long time. So I figured the sooner I start, the better, you know, and it probably took me 6 years before I could finally go on my own. So I'm happy I did. This year's been great. Last year was great. The market finally just went crazy. And we had a really good last 2 years.
Obviously, like, you know, the 9-to-5 hustle is real, you know, with anyone. And so, like, I was just going to ask you, like what made you want to get into real estate? Because I know, like, no one is, you know, no one is going to quit their job, obviously. I don't think you did. But, like, how you're like, okay, like, you're working, but then you're like, okay, like, real estate, like, where did that thought came from?
Back, I lived in Denver for a couple of years. I moved down there with my girlfriend then, my wife now. But I had met a boss down there. I got really deep into sales and he started giving me a bunch of sales books. And I started reading that, read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I was like, okay, this guy says buy assets. Got into Grant Cardone. Okay. Read Grant Cardone. He said, you got to get into sales. Once you do that, you can have enough money to buy real estate. So I literally quit my job, went and sold cars, stacked money until I could buy an apartment and just dove in that way.
That's really dope. Yeah,
absolutely, man. I mean, I think sales is a very good field to get into, you know, as I'm also in sales as a real estate agent. And definitely real estate is a great way to quit your job and become, you know, free and just do whatever you want. Like, you have more financial freedom, you have more financial time, like, you have more time freedom, you have more, like, location freedom, things like that. So it's absolutely a good way to get yourself into there, like, as an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got into a lot of other business ventures, but I knew that real estate's the best because whether I'm working or I'm not, it's still paying me every month. On the first of the month, I know I'm getting paid, whether I'm there every day or I'm not there every day. So to me, it's all about the freedom, being able to hang out with family or go do other adventures and stuff like that. Yeah, 100% what sold me on it.
So you're currently doing only residential, or are you also in commercial?
So I have only a 21 unit apartment, but July 1st, I'm closing on a 16 unit motel.
Wow. Oh, wow. Congratulations. So
hey, thanks. Yeah. I'm pretty excited for that. I've never done that, but I'm gonna do extended stay. So add a little kitchenette, do like monthly stays and just less turnaround, less having people clean sheets and stuff like that. Just keep my costs down, but still less turnover.
Is that in Mitchell or?
That's in Huron. Everything I own right now is in Huron, except for a couple of houses in Mitchell. Yep.
Wow.
So you said you're getting to motels, right?
Yeah. Well, my first one. Yep.
So, like, I want to ask you, like, cause you know, real estate versus an actual business of owning like hotels is very like, there's big difference. Cause I mean, it also depends on like what you want to do. Like, for instance, like, let's say I own a franchise of Marriott, like I have to follow their rules and regulations. Right. And so like, so again, like that shift, like, so what made you want to go like, okay, like, I have an apartment, now I'm going to go into motel industry, like an actual business where now I have to focus on getting clients, right? Versus I'm already getting a tenant who's there for, you know, this period.
Yeah, so it was pretty much by accident. I mean, everybody I ever meet, I say, hey, you know anyone that wants to sell any real estate? And I mean, I look at hundreds of deals all the time and I came across this one. And this guy he's in his 70s. He did a bunch of remodeling in 2017, 2018. And then in 2019, COVID hit and he's like, I'm shutting down. He shut down for 2 years and he just freshly remodeled this place, you know, and everything kind of come out of it. And I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he's like, I have a friend that might sell his motel. And I went and talked to him. He's like, yep, I'm ready to get rid of this thing. I did all the work, and I'm like, all right, sounds good. I just need to do some interior remodeling. The whole outside's been done. I'm like, well, this deal's too good to pass up. Let's go for it.
So it looks like a cash flow is pretty good every month, right?
Yeah, amazing. The guy's selling it for like 2008 prices. So wow. I kind of like that.
good one.
What a great deal, man.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like I said, really lucky. I asked literally everybody I ever meet, you got anything for sale? My first apartment I ever bought, my buddy lived there. I said, hey, does your landlord want to sell this building? He goes, I don't know. Here's his number. Called him up and I closed that 15 units. So that was my first big deal. Totally stumbled into it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Great. So you're buying more real estate and also like fix and flipping it, things like that, right? You're doing both.
Yeah, I was into the fix and flip on houses for a while. I'm not as good at it because I just kind of like to have a big team. I probably make my stuff too nice. Cause I'm like, if I live in it, then I know someone else will live in it. So yeah. I didn't leave very much money on the table when I was flipping. I kind of made them too nice. And then I found the apartment. I'm like, this is nice because I can make them nice. And then they're also paying me every month. So rather than a one-time transaction, it's renting it out every month.
Yeah. Like I was telling Sogat too, that like, you know, him and I talk a lot about like owning rentals, right? Residential, commercial, like, you know, at the end of the day, like the goal is to own real estate, right? Like you don't want real estate to own you. And then you work every single day. Cause I was telling Sogat that like being a real estate agent isn't, I don't think for me is a long-term goal. I'd rather go into the development side, right? Which I'm currently learning as well. And so I rather own rentals so that I can get cash flow every single month. Like Sogat said, like I can be in Bali or I can be in Cancun. And I can get money, like you said, right? Like you're getting on the first. And so that's the goal for everyone. Every investor should not just focus on, okay, like, you know, I'm just going to do fix and flip and just, you know, live like this. Cause that means you're constantly working, you know, and you're not selling down. Cause at the end of the day, we all have to retire at some point because we can't always work and have that kind of mentality. I mean, when you need to hustle, you know, at like, I feel like this age right now for me and Sogat, we can definitely do that. But once we hit certain age, I feel like, you know, from 20 to 30, like save, and then buy. And then that's how that's what I think. Right. And so that's the goal for anyone in real estate.
Exactly what I did. I was save. I bought my first house in 2013 and I just kept saving money. And then I got a sales job that was making extremely good money. And I just started putting all that money into a couple houses. And then I sold those houses and I didn't owe any money on them. So I just cashed those in and I took that lump sum and went and bought the apartment. So to 100%. Me, it was, you know, you got to stack until you get to that certain point. Once you can convert over, then that's when you make the leap.
Definitely. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it's always good to invest along the way too, so you can generate more passive income, right?
Right. The sooner you can put your money in, the better, because with appreciation, with a little bit of extra cash flow every month, it's the best thing.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So how many doors do you own right now so far?
Right now at 22, but 22. I'll close a 16 unit motel and I'll have 38. So not a lot, but...
Gosh, no,
three or 4 years ago, I only had six.
No. No, I'm just going to tell you, man, like Jordan, you're on to some big things. Cause if you can own that already at this, you know, age, well, age, when I say age, I mean, one being your age, but then like the environment, like, I guess this 2022, right? Like you like imagine in the next like 5 years with your goals and the vision board that you have. Right. So it adds up. And so I'm impressed. I did not know.
My goal is 1,000 doors. I know it's going to take a lot of work to get there.
You'll definitely get there, man.
I'm only 3% of the way there, but the first floor, that's the hardest. Once you get snowballing, it's a lot easier.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Everything takes time, bro. So you'll eventually get 2,000 doors.
But, yeah, it gets easier. Yeah. I mean, you make the connections, you meet the bankers, you kind of get your, once you're in there, you know, once you get a seat at the table, it's a lot easier. But getting a seat at the table is the hardest part.
Yeah. So do you typically do like a syndication deal, or do you have like a fund where you go with your investors and you actually go buy real estate? Because that's what I was talking with Sogat, right? So I'm trying to like, well, I'm telling him like in the coming days or in the coming months or the coming years, whenever we're ready, like, you know, let's make this fund, let's get an investors and go out there and buy real estate, right? And so is that what you're doing typically? Or
So everything I have is 100% all me funded. I don't have any investors. I've had a lot of people that say I'd like to give you some money, but for me, I'm like, I kind of want the whole pie to myself right now. But I'm getting to the point where I can probably sell off some of my stuff into a fund I'm actually set up with an LLC to do a syndication. I have a syndication lawyer, but you know, even if you get five guys, you know, with a couple hundred thousand bucks each, if you can find the right investors, you don't really need to syndicate it. You can just form an LLC. Once you get past 10, 20 guys, then you probably need to have a fund.
Yeah, because
the biggest benefit to the fund is if you can be the GP and put like basically no money in, and then you get your 30%,
100%,
and then you get paid out at the end. That's the best.
That's but yeah, because
like I want it now.
Because I'm talking with these guys from Texas. It's an investment fund, and they're showing me the ropes on how to actually get it going, right? And so, I mean, there's some ways that you can obviously, like in a contract, you can definitely like you know, make corrections and go about. But they're definitely showing me on how to set up a fund and how to set up a successful fund. So they manage over like billion, you know, and billions. So I feel like a fund is the quickest way to grow. If you're okay with investing with others and who want to invest, you know, with you, you know. So I think it's one of the quickest way to grow your net worth and you know, just own more buildings. I personally think. But yeah,
I for sure agree with that. So me, I'm like, I need like a credibility, not like a credibility factor where like people have seen, I put a lot of stuff on the internet. I make a lot of videos. I want people to be like, okay, this guy's done it. He's bought, he's fixed, he's sold, he's bought, he's fixed, he's sold, you know, with so many like degrees of success. Once it's easier and you can find the deals, the money just gets thrown at you.
So, 100%.
You know, I'm close to that point where I'm people like, yep, if you want to invest, let me know. Or if you need an investor, let me know. I'm like, not quite yet. Like I know when I find the deal, I can just call a couple people and get the money.
That's great.
But I don't need it yet. So
yeah. So when you say everything that you own right now is just yourself, you don't have any partners then, like 100% just yourself?
Correct. That's awesome. Yeah, just me and my wife, I guess. But I do pretty much all the work. So
I mean it's a good way to get more money to yourself than you know having to divide it between partners, right?
Correct. Yep. And when I take on a partner, I know that it's going to be just money only and I'll be the guy doing all the work.
But but I think, Jordan, you're working a lot though, right? I mean, I mean, you
depends
know.
It depends what you think. So I got a really good group of subcontractors that work that really well together. And I'm just going there and I just say, hey, I get everyone together every morning to say, this is our goal for the week and the day or the month or whatever. I need you guys to get it done then. And like, as long as you can portray your dream or your goal pretty well to enough people, I honestly, I only maybe work physical labor an hour a day, you know, when they need some help.
Okay.
I'm jumping in here, right? But normally I'm just leading the crew.
Yeah. No, but like you're jumping from place to place, like, you know, throughout your day. I mean, that's right. What I'm trying to get at here. So like, but that's great. Like Jordan, like, you know, I'm amazed. Keep going, you know, and
yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I tell you what, I hope you guys can do it because it is a blast. I mean, I get so excited every day to go to my units and my property and just see everything.
Yeah.
We just got done with a big parking lot project, doors, windows. I mean, we've owned this 21 unit for 11 months and I got 12 units down. So,
wow.
I mean, I'll turn the entire property in probably 14 to 16 months.
Okay.
Wow.
Which is pretty fast. I mean, if you saw how bad this property is, it's pretty serious.
That's fast. And you were talking about the parking lot you did in like 6-7 days.
Right. So I had to get a lot of stuff prepared, but before I could do the parking lot, I had to do all the like wiring in the entire building. We trenched in new electric to the whole building. I trenched in a new gas meter because I wanted it moved. We had to do all the dirt work, bury the midco lines. I mean, we had to do all this preparation work. Once it was done and those guys could get their skid loaders in there, pack the gravel and do all that stuff. Yeah. It took 6 days and we were done.
Okay.
Amazing. It's all about the prep. It doesn't matter what you do. It's always the easiest thing is always doing it. It's getting prepared to make sure it goes smooth. That's always the hardest part.
That's amazing. Okay. You're doing so well. I was gonna say you're doing so well. And your seminars is definitely gonna be helpful for like people like myself and other people. I know I couldn't attend the other one that you had last time, but I'm planning on attending the one that you're having soon, right? You're having one soon, right?
Yeah, June 23rd. It's gonna be really awesome. The guy, I got three people. One of them is like a great sales and motivational guy. He's my wife's brother. He's just amazing. Justin Teasy, he's like my personal mentor. He's been absolutely great for me. Luckily, I met him on the internet. I made a ton of videos and he called me one day. He goes, you know, I'd like to help you. I've been where you're at. I want to help, you know, help you. And he's been great. He owns 425 storage units right now, plus 21 business suites.
Jeez.
Wow.
He's owned hundreds of apartment units. I mean, he had, I think his biggest one was like 52 units. He's been absolutely fantastic. So, and you know, he grew up with nothing. You know, he grew up on a farm as a farm kid, and you know, he's in his 40s now. He's doing amazing. Right. And then Trish Bates, she just owns a two different cosmetology, either schools or salons, and she's got 30 employees, and there's only 5% of the whole employees in all the country. So only 5% have 30 or more employees, and so it's really interesting to see that kind of talent in my little tiny community. I just want to broadcast it.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Yeah.
No, I was just gonna ask you, like, you know, like I want to move to, so now we talked about real estate, but like, you know, like the entrepreneurship journey, like, you know, it's not always easy. I know you touched many milestone, I guess, right? Like you touched, right. Like you went from here one place to another place, from another place to another place, but didn't really talk about like what it took to get there, right? And so as an entrepreneur,
I can give you the quick synopsis of everything. So one of my first business ventures ever was I started a metal band. Dumbest thing ever. I mean, I had a blast, but that was when I really figured, know your customer, right? Like there's not a lot of people out there that love death metal music. I love playing it, but you can't do it for yourself. You have to do it for the customer.
Yeah.
So then I said, you know what? This doesn't work. I went to a recording studio. Mm-hmm. I tried a recording studio. I was like, holy cow, I don't love this. No, I'm just doing this because I thought it'd be a good kickoff. Mm-hmm. Then I started a spray tan business. So like my friend's mom was like, let's spray tan chicks. I was like, that sounds fine. The margins are like 100%. And I realized I didn't love it. So that really grew me to, I won't do a business. I won't invest in anything unless I absolutely love it, because I know I don't love it. I won't show up every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After that, I was like, all right, I'm sick of having employees. So I bought a bunch of candy machines, gumball machines, vending machines. And I put out like thousands of dollars worth of machines. My first month, I made like $6. I was like, this is not going to work. Sold everything in like a month later. And then what did I do after that? Oh, I started a pinball machine business. Cause I was like, all right, arcades, you know, cash flow every month, right? Like put the arcade in, go and pick up the change. It did okay. I ended up selling the whole business out for like $12,000 after like 4 years. Then after that, I started a tree removal business with my buddy. We actually hit $1 million in sales. It just wasn't going where I wanted it to go. Yeah, I mean, it took 3 years. We did $1 million in sales. Not a lot of profit, but it taught me a lot as far as starting like large businesses, employees, stuff like that. All along the way, I was taking anything I made and buying rental properties. Then I went full into the sales. I did 2 years of the car sales. I worked 80 hours a week. I tried being one of the top three sales guys every month. And then after that, I was like, all right, I figured it out. I didn't figure it out, but I got enough. I bought the apartment. I just went full into it. So Robert Kiyosaki says 9 out of 10 businesses fail. So I knew if I started 10, one of them would work.
100%.
So here we are, number 10. It was my real estate and it's going good.
Yeah. And from what I'm understanding with your story about starting a business is every time you started a business, you learned a new thing from it, right? And then you move
right
on to one, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. So I was like, you know what? I don't care if I fail. I know I'm going to learn something. I didn't go to college. It's like, I always say, okay, I learned something. It cost me a little bit of money. It's like that was chapter whatever, semester 3 in my college of the street. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I looked at it. You know, I lost $4,000 or $5,000 on the business. No big deal. At least I don't have a loan on it.
Yeah. That's great. That's
so
great.
Yeah, that's great. So Jordan, what kind of advice and knowledge would you give to someone like us, like who's just starting off, or someone who's just wanting to get into real estate or start a business? What kind of like advice would you give them? Where should they start off?
Well, for me, and I was just having this conversation with Justin, my mentor, the other day. And I was asking him the same question. He goes, my biggest thing is if someone tells you no, you go find someone that's going to tell you yes. Because I've been turned down by dozens of bankers. And I remember my first rental property, I went to 7 different banks. All of them told me no, it was impossible. Finally, I got sick of it. I started calling realtors. I said, who's the best banker for real estate? They gave me a guy's name. I went and talked to him. He goes, oh, yeah, we can do this deal. No problem. We're just going to do a completely different like loan.
Yeah,
I was like, man, that's amazing. And I told him that story. He goes, there's been so many times where a banker would tell me no. I go find another banker. They tell me no. Then they finally tell me yes. It's like half the deal is finding the deal. The other half is finding the financing, right? Like if you can find there's deals everywhere. But if you can find the financing for all those deals, you put those two things together, you'll hit a home run every time.
Absolutely.
As long as it's a good deal. So my thing is like, hey, if you want to do something and someone tells you no, just go find someone else that'll tell you yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Bankers want, there's a bank out there that every bank has a separate risk tolerance, right? Like, I don't know how, if you know how banks work, but basically they'll be like, all right, we want a really safe portfolio right now. So they'll build people with 800 credit scores on mortgages. Like, all right, well, we have a really safe. So now we want to increase growth. So we're going to give a little bit riskier deals, right? And they're always changing their risk tolerance in their portfolio. So right. You need to go out and find which bank is looking for your risk tolerance on that certain deal.
100%.
So like I went, I mean, in 2020, in the middle, I was going to buy another motel deal. It kind of fell through just because the city wouldn't let us do some stuff. But in the middle of the coronavirus, I got approved on a 78 unit motel deal when every motel in the country was shut down because the bank's like, we're looking for deals like this. It's like, that's awesome. Wow.
That's amazing. I mean,
you just got to find the right banker. They'll tell you yes.
Yeah. It's also about building relationships, right? Right. I mean, let's say you own like worth $100 million of real estate and you use the same bank for 40, 50 years, you know, the bank is going to trust you because you make the money. Absolutely. Right. And bank wants to invest in people who makes them money. Right. Because they're looking to make money. So
And they want someone that pays them back every month. As long as you can say, hey, I will pay you back. Here's my history of paying people back. They're going to want to borrow you money because that's how they make money.
100%. Yeah. I mean, they love real estate investors and like experienced one, like they'll keep them, you know? And so.
Absolutely. So,
you got to be able to do that. I think about those kind of stuff as well. I'm like, you know, if I want to get rich or be very wealthy, sorry, in that term, like rich is different to me. But the rich and wealthy, I have different definitions. Mm-hmm. I want to get wealthy. So, you know, I gotta use other people's money, right? I gotta use other people's money. Absolutely. To become rich. And especially like if I want to own real estate units, right? Rentals, I you know, and like apartments and stuff like that. You know, one of the ways I can do it is take a loan from these bank. And if I keep that one good relationship with one bank, you know, I feel like.
But you always want to have a couple banks in your pocket because one bank might one day say, you know what, this isn't going to work for me. Yeah. That's when you kind of need to have another bank in your back pocket.
100%.
It's happened to me a few times where it's like, hey, kind of working two banks at once. And I've had like a banker basically say, yeah, we can do this deal. And then another banker say, well, I think we can. Well, that banker that was pretty sure of it dropped out last minute. And then that's when you have your next one. Because you don't want to get to the closing table or a couple of days in the bank. Nothing really. It's not what we're looking for. It's like you got to kind of have two working at the same time.
Right. 100%.
You always have the contingency.
I like
that. So to me, that's the most important thing. Always having a backup plan.
Okay.
Absolutely, man. So where do you see yourself in 5 years, Jordan? Like, I know you said you aren't going.
Where do I see myself in 5 years?
Yeah. With real estate and business.
Well, we're at 38 units. I'd like to be well over a couple hundred. So that would be great. I guess I'm just going to keep working towards it. I don't know exactly where I'm going to be in 5 years. I guess I only look like a month ahead, but I know what I want my end goal to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm just always looking for deals. In 5 years, I don't know. It's a tough call.
Yeah, you don't know.
Way farther than I am today, that's for sure.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
You want to start?
Yeah, we also want to own at least 100 unit, right?
Yeah, that's what you want to own. That's your end goal.
That's my goal in 5 years.
Oh,
nice. But end goal is like, I can't even imagine. Probably like
100,000.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome.
100,000 units. 100,000. You want to be the next billionaire?
World's first trillionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You know, my first goal was, you know, years ago was 10,000. If I could make 10,000 a month, I'll be the happiest guy ever. Once I hit that, I'm like, I need to make 100,000 a month, you know? And
There's always levels.
Goal. Right. Once you hit 100,000, you're saying I need a million, you know, or 500,000, whatever the case is.
Yeah. You can never reach the end, bro. You got to keep going. Once you gotta make a new goal, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think in the next 5 years too, like I think I want to own around 100 to 150. That's my goal.
Do you guys have anything right now? How many do you own now?
I don't own anything. I don't own anything, but we're in real estate. I do wholesaling and stuff like that. But like, I think definitely 100 to 150 in the next 5 years, you know, cash flowing at least $30,000-$40,000. That's my minimum, but let's see how things go. And because you never know, you know, it's real estate, it's numbers game. So
yeah,
it is. Yeah. One thing I kind of left out, I remember when I first started this, I had no idea what I was doing. And I had a friend that he owned a construction company. I said, hey, can I come work for you for free? Because I just need to learn. I need to learn how this stuff works. And I went and worked for him for like 2.5-3 weeks for free. I said, I'm not going to work hard, but I'll help you with what you need. And that's kind of how I learned, like, you know, general construction. So I don't have like a big background in the stuff, but to me, you get paid the most by when you work for free. If you don't work for a paycheck, that's when the money flows to you.
100%.
You also get to learn new things and experience and, you know, build your knowledge along the way, right?
Right, exactly. That's one thing. If I can, I don't care how much it costs. Even if you spend money, it's just like going to a seminar, right? It costs you money to learn, but it comes 100%. Back like a tenfold. If you go to work for a paycheck, you're just not going to be in it, and you're probably not going to learn anything.
Right.
Because usually when someone's paying you to do something, it's just something they don't want to do.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So let's shift a little bit and talk about your seminar, right? So can you tell the, you know, the viewers or someone who's listening, like, what, you know, what you like, what your seminar is about, like, you know, like where you live once again, and, you know, stuff like that. So
I live in Mitchell, and that's where we're doing the seminar. We're doing like a little theater, holds like 400 people. Last time I sold like 34% out. So 130, which is pretty good for the first time of a business seminar in a small town of 15,000 people. But I like to go to like the Grant Cardone stuff. I don't know if you've ever been to one of those.
I'm a fan.
So we just got back from Miami. So we went to the first one. It's $1,000 a ticket for the first year. We liked it so much. We went back the next year. We paid $7,000 each, me and my wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that doesn't include plane, that doesn't include motel or anything. And to me, the stuff you gain from something like that is, it's priceless. So I want to bring that kind of knowledge back and that kind of excitement. Because you go to one of these things and you just get pumped up. And like, I want to bring people in our town as well. Because it's just so exciting. It's not about me or like bringing people together or anything. Or, you know, it's bringing people together. It's not like for me, but it's kind of selfish because I get to meet all these people I've never met. And get them on stage, and people come up and say, hey, we like what you're doing. So it's really cool. It's kind of like an added benefit. But, you know, Zig Ziglar said, you can get whatever you want as long as you help as many other people get what they want.
Right.
So that's kind of what it is. You know, if you help a lot of people and you get your name out there, there's been so many times where someone called and said, hey, I know you're in real estate. You want to come look at this deal? And it hasn't panned out a lot, but the more of those leads I can get organic, I'm going to keep doing it.
Absolutely.
So with your webinars, what you do is you pretty much, you know, pretty much empower entrepreneurs and really help them with, whether it's in real estate, different businesses, and you pretty much excite them is what I'm trying to say, right?
So, right, exactly. So I'm trying to, like, you know, people that I get on stage, they come from nothing almost always. So I want to show people, hey, like, you may be in a rut right now. You may think you're too old to do something. If I can show you someone that's done it, then it's going to make it so much easier. You know, it's easy to emulate success rather than just imagine it and do it.
It's to inspire those that doesn't have any motivation or lacking the inspiration. Right.
And there's so many times I've read a book or watched a movie or like a seminar or documentary and someone's given me inspiration. And it's like, to me, that helps so much because I watch one at least every day. And if I can be the one person that gives someone the energy and the motivation to help them achieve whatever they're looking to achieve, it's a great feeling, you know. I almost feel like it's like an obligation to pass it forward or pass it back. You know, like, I've gotten so many people to give help to me, it's time for me to do the same for them.
100%.
Yeah, and it's always going to come back, right? Come back around and help you to along.
Right. And one of the best ways to learn is to teach. It sounds crazy, but you get back to the basics.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know? Uh-huh.
Yeah, super great, man. I'm definitely interested in coming to a seminar.
You should. It's June 23rd. It's only 2 hours. There's going to be a networking event. There's going to be a lot of people in real estate. It's a fun deal.
I'll check out your
if you're a real estate agency, you should come to Huron. It's popping. The market up there is crazy. They're one of the they're the third fastest growing city in
South Dakota.
In South Dakota. Rapid City's number one right now. Sioux Falls dropped down to number two. And Huron's number three. So just to give you a background of Huron, so one of my friends kind of is like the HR guy at Dakota Provisions. They have 1,000 employees. The town's only 12,000 people, but they have 1,000 employees, which is crazy. The facility is massive. But what they do is they get a lot of people from other countries, like Cambodia, Vietnam, Korea, Puerto Rico, Guatemala, Mexico, stuff like that, to come work here. They work on like getting their green cards and visas. So these poor people are so excited to come to work because they get to move to America because America's amazing. So once they get there, like, they need housing, they need like stuff. Like, so they're going to bring, I think, 360 families in the next year. And that's going to increase Huron's population 5% in 1 year.
Wow.
Like, Mitchell hasn't even grown where I'm from 5% in 10 years. So Huron is outpacing the town I live in like tenfold. It's pretty crazy. And it's like a little known market. And that's why I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I shouldn't even tell people this, but I love to see other people grow. And it's just amazing. They're growing so fast.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that.
I'm new as well, so.
What?
Someone told me I had to mute it.
Oh, no. You can hear me now?
I hear you now.
Yeah, so what I was saying was, I'm new. I mean, I just, you know, Mitchell, you said?
Yeah, right.
Awesome.
It's an hour west of Sioux Falls.
Okay.
He's actually in Utah.
I'm in Utah.
Oh, you're in Utah. Oh, okay, gotcha. I'm going to the world.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't know the town thing.
What's that? Oh, you said that's cool?
I like Utah. Yeah, Utah's a cool place. I've never been there, but I hear a lot of nice things.
Well, yeah, if you come down here, you know, let me know. We can go out for lunch or something.
Yeah, I don't make it to Utah ever, but if I do, I'll
if you fun. Do, yeah.
How did you guys meet?
Kind of crazy.
Yeah, so
we actually met on the internet.
Internet, yeah.
Oh, no, that's awesome.
I think we met through Instagram, right?
Instagram, yeah. We met through Instagram, so. I still do wholesaling. So we got onto this guy's podcast and then that's how we met. And then you reached out to me and at first I was like, who's this guy? But then who knew, right? So that's how we met. But
how's the wholesaling market out there? It's pretty easy.
Oh, it's now I'm kind of excited because it's actually declining a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Meat on the bone.
Yeah, so you know, it's all about that supply and demand. I was actually talking to Sogoth about that as well. So, we have some properties that we're gonna go take a look at and stuff like that. So we're getting back on track and it was 2021. It was tough. I'll tell you that for sure.
It was tough. I'm really glad I had a lot of properties at that point because I just pushed as fast forward as I could because I knew within a couple of years it was going to end. And I mean, 2021 was just crazy, but man, it worked out great for me.
Where do you think the market is going now, Jordan?
It's hard. I just recently learned that the United States is 5 million houses behind like demand since 2008 market crashed. Usually they built about 1 million homes per year, but then they made about, they were only doing 700,000-800,000 new homes a year.
Yeah.
So population is going up, new homes are going down in comparison. So now we're about 5 million homes short. Mm-hmm. So even though interest rates are going up, people are still going to have a place to live.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's a tough call. I mean, I think interest rates are probably going to go up, but who knows?
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely really increasing as the time goes on.
Yeah. I mean, I think I talked to one of my banker friends. I think they're at like 5.5 right now for FHA. Right, yeah. Right. And crazy. I mean, 2 months ago, they were 3%. So
yeah,
that's pretty wild. But I guess they go off the 10-year treasury. They don't go off of like whatever. That's what they go off as the 10-year treasury. So I've been following that kind of, and that's starting to dip down a little bit.
Like, it's crazy because if you come to Utah, like they're building all these big buildings, like condominium. And so like, you're not going to see much as house, single family housing. Like, you know, you're not going to see a lot of those because you're going to see a lot of like big condominiums everywhere you go around Utah right now. That's what you see. And so what I think is going to happen to the Utah market is that, I mean, a lot of people are going to demand for, you know, condominiums or just an apartment. I feel like these developers are coming in and just building apartments over apartments, and if the rent of a apartment is expensive, you know, obviously house, you know, this I don't know, we'll see. No one can predict the real estate market, but
it's hard. But I think we're moving to a renter nation. I mean, I hear it a lot, and it makes a lot of sense. People compared to like in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, people used to fix everything. They used to know how to do home repairs. Now people can rent an apartment for dang near what it costs to own a house, but you get your yard mowed, your snow shoveled, you get, you know, anytime anything breaks, someone comes and fixes it. A lot of times you get a pool, you get a gym, you get all this stuff, a dog park, you know, so for $100 or $200, you know, like, sure, you have to put up with a neighbor, but you also don't have to do anything. And so many people are mobile now, like, especially our generation, you know, like, they're ready to pick up and move in 2 years. They don't want to like batten on the hatches and buy a house and live there for 50 years like the previous generation. They're like, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to go to a different city.
Right.
100%.
Why not? The internet shrinks the world. Why not move to whatever's happened?
Yeah. And that's what I was telling Sogoth as well. Cause so right now I'm learning about a real estate development and stuff like that. I'm learning a lot, you know? And so, you know, if I go somewhere or, you know, I decide to build an apartment or I decide to buy an apartment, right? Like, there's always going to be renters who want to live, right? Everybody needs a house.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that demand is going to be very up there. And so that's why, like, I think the goal is to start owning apartments like you are doing right now, because that's how you can grow your wealth really quickly, right? And get more cash flow every single month. And so it's pretty, very neat, I should say, but yeah.
Right. And, you know, I always think about things in the best of times and things in the worst of times, right? Let's say, you know, interest rates go up, inflation goes up, the market goes down, and all of a sudden 20% of people get laid off. They're probably going to say, you know what? I got to sell my house. I can't afford this. I'm going to go from a 3-bedroom house to a 2-bedroom apartment, or from a 2-bedroom house to a 1-bedroom apartment. They're going to sell off their house, and apartments are going to just get flooded, you know, because you're going to, like, whatever little equity I have, I need it. I need to sell, and I need to get, you know, I need to get into there. You know, and in the greatest of times, people are going to say, you know what? I'm 18 years old. I'm not going to live with my parents. I'm going to move into an apartment. What the heck? I got making all this money and whatever. So to me, apartments are very strong in good and in bad, because you can only downsize so far where you got to live. And I have a lot of 1-bedroom apartments. And even if you get 3 of your buddies and you're like, hey, we can each come up with $250 a month, we can live in this apartment.
I like that.
You know, not
like,
everyone can get like into that. $300,000-$400,000 house.
No.
The people in the $500,000-$600,000 house are probably going to get into those houses, and everyone's going to get bumped down a notch in bad times, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So that's, I guess, that's my strategy. It's going to be really hard to. I don't ever see a 1-bedroom apartment ever going empty, especially today.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. That's smart.
Very smart. Yeah. Man. Do you have anything else, Aziz, to ask him?
I think sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think we covered it all. I think, you know, talked about real estate, you know, what you're doing, and do you have anything to say?
No, I guess not. You know, I always, for my seminar people, I've been asking, have people to say, what's the question you want to ask me? So I think one thing is, you said, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Mm-hmm. I kind of like the reverse of that question is, like, 5 years ago, what do you wish you know now that you wish you would have known 5 to 10 years ago?
I like that. Because
to me, that's like one thing where you can shrink your time. To me, like I said, number one, I wish I could have known, like, when a banker tells me no, go find another one that's going to say yes. Mm. And the other thing is, don't ever take no for an answer. It sounds dumb, but you don't want to keep pushing the same person, but just find another person that says yes. So
yeah.
I guess I asked my own question and answered it, but I think that's my new favorite question to ask people. What do you wish you learned 10 years before?
I already got that down. So for me, I was okay. Like, I know what he's saying, but I should have, you know, the reason why I asked you, like, do you have anything to say? It was because I don't know if you had any other thing to say that I forgot to ask you a question about, but what you said was very great. And one of the things that I was going to say was, like, to our listeners, right? Like the young entrepreneurs like us, like, what kind of advice do you want to give? Right. Like, you know,
My advice, if I had to give it to anyone else, for one, don't ever take no for an answer. Call someone that needs something. The other thing is if you don't have, like, if you have a question, just keep asking people till you get the right answer. And once you get the right answer, ask more people, because sometimes you have to check the expiration date on your information, because there's a lot of people that said save money. Well, you don't want to be saving money this year, because with inflation at 8%, you have a bunch of money in the bank account, you're losing. 100%. So 100%. Check the expiration date on your advice and never take no for an answer.
Absolutely, man. Great, great advice. Well, Jordan, thank you so much for coming to our podcast. It was very valuable. You know, thanks so much. It's a pleasure having you here today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Looking, I appreciate you on my first podcast ever, so it was fun.
Yeah, it's his first podcast ever, Aziz. That's exciting.
Are you going to be in at that next REI meeting in Sioux Falls?
REI meeting?
Oh,
yeah. I actually haven't been there since like 2-3 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I'll come there this coming month.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go to that action too, so maybe I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll see you there. I'll actually come there, yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm also looking forward to your seminar too.
Yeah, come to the seminar. It's going to be fun, June 23rd. It's going to be a really good one. I got fog machines and stuff.
For sure.
I actually go to like the meetups as well, and it's really cool. Like, you get to learn a lot, you know. And so, yeah, it's really, Utah has a big community. I'm not throwing shades at you guys, but Utah has a big real estate community. Really big.
Oh, yeah. Well, here on there, Sioux Falls is big, but man, there's only like 12 people that go to that meetup thing. But it's fun every time. I always learn something, you know. Like, if I go for an hour, I don't expect to learn an hour's worth of information. And look at that one little sentence that'll push me a little bit farther.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going to that event. And thanks for reminding me, man.
Yeah, no problem. I'll send you an email every day if you want.
Okay. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming to the podcast again, Jordan. It was very nice having you here.
Thanks, thank you.
Yep, yeah. See ya.